This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Time and his teammate now, De'Aaron Fox, will also make his first appearance after being traded from Sactown. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We got to start today's show, Mike, by acknowledging our listeners, our fans, the people who support us, people who have been down since day one. We got recognized today, and it's always nice to be recognized. I mean, listen, when your boss says, hey, you've done a nice job. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Skipper.
We don't look for it. We do this because we love it, but it is nice to be recognized nationally. And a big shout out to Barrett, who covers all of our media and certainly radio. They do every year. It's not a poll. It's actually voted on by industry experts and PDs and all these folks in the industry that, guys, you wouldn't know. But, Mike, we got voted as the 10th best major market afternoon drive show
right
across the country. And just to put that in perspective, you got to realize New York, Chicago, you know, Philly, Boston, there are some towns that have, you know, two, even three really strong radio stations, strong shows, and the history in those marketplaces, Mike, for us to be recognized as high as we were. It's just a testament to what Atlanta is, what you guys are, and certainly what this has become over the last 11 years or so. So big shout out to you guys, man. So we want to start there today and say thank you.
Yeah, man, as Carl says, without you, there is no us. We've got the best audience. And, again, we always appreciate when you guys come out and, again, support us in the ratings, support us on site. And we're going to be up in Buffalo's, by the way, in Decatur. So come on down, join the party. We'll take a little victory lap. And then on a Friday show, we're going to be at Twin Peaks and Bucket today, though, at State Farm Arena, as we say bonjour to Wemby and company. And, like, it should be a lot of energy. And I think – now, remember, guys, 7 o'clock because it's ESPN. So I'm just telling you right now, if you're in Alpharetta, get in the car now.
That's right.
Same thing goes if you're coming from Southside. So get out here and get moving because you know how it is getting down to Midtown when it's a half hour early.
All right, since we're here and we've got a lot to talk about, Dusty Likens is going to join us. He's the co-host of the morning show on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. He's on Radio Row down there in New Orleans. We're going to get some Super Bowl conversation coming up here in about 20 minutes, so stay tuned for that as we build up to Super Bowl 59. And we are carrying it for you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But since we are here at State Farm, Mike, we got to talk about these trade rumors because the trade deadline is February 6th. But specifically about our Hawks. Look, we spent a lot of time on Luka and the AD trade. What needs to happen with our Atlanta Hawks? And I'm going to tell you guys that this is what I'm hearing, okay, out there. The Bogey thing is weird because he hadn't been with the team, certainly hadn't been playing. And
which
everybody
almost sounds like they've got him on ice because
yeah,
they're going to trade him.
It feels that way. But what if I told you there was another guy they're thinking about trading? What if I said to you that there might be another guy that's playing really well right now that might be on the block? Are you afraid of losing anybody on this team is my first question.
Well, I like what this team was about 3 weeks ago now. And then, obviously, things fell apart because of injuries. We were just debating because the latest rumor I think you're alluding to is DeAndre Hunter. And DeAndre Hunter is a guy that, you know, we have been disappointed with for 5 years. I mean, this is year 6 of DeAndre Hunter. For those who don't remember, he was a fourth top 5 pick out of UVA, and it took him forever. Now, ironically, he's having his best year as technically a 6th man. coming off the bench, and he's playing, like, giving you production of an elite starter. I really don't want to lose that if this is the new normal. Is this the new DeAndre Hunter, or does or do you say, hey, man, we finally got a market for this guy. Let's strike while the iron's hot, because what if he reverts back to the sluggish DeAndre Hunter that drives you and me crazy?
Yeah, I don't know.
But what am I getting in return? Am I just simply dumping some salary? Well, am I getting picks back? What am I getting?
DeAndre's ability. Listen, Bogey's he's a shooter. He's not a defender, right? Clint Capella, very limited offensively.
Right.
You're going to get more in return for DeAndre Hunter than both of those guys. And only because of DeAndre Hunter's length and his ability to defend the wing, and also the way he's scoring now. So he's found his role, right? I mean, give credit to the coaching staff and certainly Coach Quinn Snyder, who basically all these other coaches came in, they had him in the starting lineup, it didn't work. Quinn said, coming off the bench, and it's worked. But, Mike, I don't know the answer to your question because I wonder the same thing. Now, I'm not telling you guys this is going to happen. I'm just saying there are a variety of things at play here. And if a team came to you and said, hey, we want Bogey, but we'll give you nothing. We want Capella, but we're going to give you nothing. Or we want DeAndre Hunter, who's young and having the best season of his career, we're willing to give you something. You got to get something in return.
Right. I'm just saying, don't just fleece it and drop some salary and then tell me, back to the drawing board.
Can't do that.
Because, as you said, it takes forever to develop these guys. We've never shown any, let's be honest, any willingness from the front office, even when we were really, really good, to reinvest or prime the pump, put some more money back into it. We know how nebulous it is, Carl Willis. You're in aprons of salary cap. Bottom line is, all a Hawks fan right now in his office, or his car, says is, they don't spend the money. I mean, there's a league minimum you've got to get to as far as how much salary to get to the floor of the cap, but they don't seem to want to go beyond that. We were just joking around with our money, G Money Gordon is engineering today, and we heard this rumor about, for instance, DeAndre Hunter for, was it Karis? What the hell's his name?
Karis LeVert.
Yeah, Karis LeVert. Hell, I'd rather have Gerald LeVert. I mean, because G goes, yeah, I'll make a trade with the Cavs. How about Evan Mobley or Jared Allen?
Yeah, no doubt.
Give me some size. Give me something we could use. That's a conversation we could have. That's obviously not on the table. So why am I going to dump a guy who's coming to his own at the height of his powers, and what am I getting in return? That's the rub.
That is a possibility. But I will also be frank with you and tell you that there's a possibility they do absolutely nothing. And it wouldn't surprise us if they didn't, because to Mike's point, 2 weeks ago, this thing looked like it was moving in the right direction. And if you said, hey, okay, I know we're missing Jalen Johnson. There's nothing you can do about that right now. But with him back and what you've seen from Dyson Daniels and DeAndre Hunter and the way Trey's playing, all right, in the offseason, let's go address a big guy. And, Mike, maybe the trajectory of this team changes, and maybe we do become that top four team in the Eastern Conference. Either way, they may do something, they may not. But the D. Hunter thing, I think, is more viable simply because he offers more. You're getting a more well-rounded player if you were going to trade for him. 404-726-0929. As we said, De'Aaron Fox in town tonight with Wimby to take on the Atlanta Hawks. Trey is questionable. Is that right as of right now?
Probable.
Okay, because he's been on the injured reserve, or the injured list, should I say, for the last four or five games. You know, every night they post he may or may not play, and then he shows up, and the other night he hit the game winner.
Right. I mean, and we said it was just unbelievable the way he had that step back just inside the three-point arc to beat the Pistons right there at the buzzer. Only give him a second. I can work with. I'm just real quick, just getting back to DeAndre. I'm just looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
It's a manageable salary for two more years after
Very
this.
Manageable.
You know, at $23 and $24 million by NBA standards. Remember, he signed a 4-year extension worth $90 million. You know, that based on the production you're getting, I have a hard time moving off of that. Unless this is Murphy's Law, we don't move him, and he goes back to being, you know, and then you're sitting there scratching your head. I'm with Carl. I don't want to make a move just to make a move. And I know it sucks because you'd love to see. We remember the Paul George thing was talked about the other day. That doesn't really make it. They're never going to take on that salary. $100 million in salary the next 2 years with Paul George? How can you see Tony Ressler doing that? That's a pipe dream.
I just feel like you're adding an aging star. That doesn't help you. That's no. My issue with
if we were
the Paul
a piece
George
away,
thing.
If we were a 4 seed, right? If we were a top 5 seed and he's a guy that puts us over the top, yes, but that's not where we're at.
Yeah, I just – that's my issue is, okay, you get Paul George. What is that in 2 years when you think you're competing for a championship? Let's just say down the road, right? Jalen's matured. Dyson is – all these guys are 21, 22, 23 years old. That's down the road, and now Paul George is an aging star. That doesn't appeal to me. Either way, we'll see what Landry Fields does because, Mike, there are some deals to be had. But, guys, the biggest deal that hasn't happened, and everybody's waiting on it to happen in the NBA until some of these other pieces fall in, is the Durant and the Jimmy Butler piece.
Right.
Until that is figured out and whether they're going to move on both ways, Mike, none of this other stuff is going to play out.
You and I had talked about Kyle Kuzma all last year.
We did.
And this offseason, he finally gets moved. Milwaukee says Middleton, and they swap picks for Kyle Kuzma, who I think in that team might be a nice piece. Everybody just wants to get the hell out of D.C. Ironically, whether he was just talking out of his tuchus, everybody wants to go home again. I don't know if Durant was just making up nonsense, but Durant was talking about maybe wanting to go to the Wizards to wrap up his career in D.C. and do what?
Yeah.
You know, and not be in the playoffs for the last 3 years?
No. I mean, look, he's got a few years left. If that – I think the Golden State thing is great if they're going to pull the trigger. But Butler gets what he wants to be in Phoenix. Phoenix gets to move on and grab Jimmy Butler. But the thing they wanted is to move on from Bradley Beal. I've been saying it for weeks. And this dude is like, I'm not coming off this no trade. So this is the alternative. Either way, we're going to see what happens. We are watching closely as the Hawks potentially try to improve. And, guys, here's the hard part. And, you know, we do this every year when we talk about the baseball trade deadline. Football's a little different. But you're trying to get a piece or two that not only helps you now, but Mike.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The next few years, and it doesn't break the bank. That's hard
right.
to
that's,
do.
You, guys, go look around the salaries in the NBA. Look at guys that are trade rumors. You can't thread that needle.
It's hard.
That's why I'm just we're kind of in this no man's land, and I get it. We're as frustrated as you guys are, but you know, if this team was not on a we just had an 8-game losing streak that Trey snapped. We've got Jalen Johnson out for the year. You know, I mean, again, unless Bogey's on ice because he's trade bait, I don't know what's going on there. Capella the same. It's just this isn't a team that's going to make a run as it's presently under its present composition, but you could improve it. Yes, if you're willing to take the money out, which they've never shown the ability to.
All right, guys, this hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. That's P-A-D-L-Y, buys.com. We got a big show for you all the way up until 6:30 tonight. As Mike said, early tip tonight, 7 o'clock. So we are done a little bit early as the Spurs are in town. We're going to talk with Lauren Williams coming up. She will hopefully fill us in a little bit more on some of the rumors that we're hearing about the Hawks. She covers the team for the AJC and AJC.com. Coming up, though, Dusty Likens is going to join us again, co-host of the morning show on 96.5, The Fan. From Kansas City, he's at New Orleans, or in New Orleans, should we say, covering the Super Bowl. But, Mike, we're going to get the latest on the Chiefs, man. It's been quiet, right? I mean, it kind of has been quiet this week.
I read a couple of articles today, and it was pretty funny. I saw something that's saying, yeah, they're not as annoying as the Patriots, but it's a close second. You know? And some guy, I forget who wrote this, saying, yeah, they don't really have a lot of swag. They had some swag when they had Tariq Hill, and then he left. But now it's kind of like
it's boring.
Some of its parts, you know, mom jeans or dad jeans, kind of like Midwestern, just, you know, consistency, which maybe isn't moving the needle for some fans.
I'm with you. I think boring is good, right, for them. But boring also, from a fan's perspective, like we talked about, getting excited. The only thing that people are excited about is see if these guys pull off an amazing feat of a three-peat. Right. You're not necessarily excited about watching the Chiefs. Chiefs aren't scoring 40 a game.
Well, that's just
They're not doing anything that is making you go, wow, I have to watch this.
Right. It's not the greatest show on turf. You know, it's not even like if you love defense, it's not Ray Lewis and that kind of defense. It's just a really well-built team that functions with the best quarterback of his generation.
All right, we're going to talk about it coming up. We'll head to New Orleans when we come back. We're live at State Farm. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You want a chance to win the ultimate trip to Vegas? Then it's time to download the free Odyssey app for your chance to spin the first two rounds of the college basketball championship in Vegas with three friends. You'll stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 92.9 The Game or any participating station. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. This is a national contest. Dusty Likens joins us, guys. He's the co-host of the morning show on 96.5, The Fan in Kansas City. And, Dusty, here's the deal for me. Kansas City, everybody's just saying, look, they're chasing history. They have Patrick Mahomes. This is hard to bet against them. Tell me what has to go wrong for Kansas City to not show up and make this happen. What is the weakness of this team? Dusty? Is he there? All right, we'll try to connect here. We'll get Dusty Likens.
Son of a, that Dusty Likens, why I oughta.
Because, Mike, here's the deal for me, and I said this yesterday. The strength of the Eagles, right, is obviously, you know, their run game. They're one of the best running teams and rushing teams in the NFL. The strength of Kansas City is stopping the run. Dusty, appreciate the time, man. I was asking, what is the weakness of this Kansas City team, if they have one?
Themselves, I would say, but to be honest and not to be biased, I would say if you look at this game, the weakest point I would say would probably be offensive line, if you have to put it there. I mean, there's a juggernaut of a defensive line for Philadelphia. Obviously, Jalen Carter, we know what those guys are. Hell, it's half of Georgia's national championship team, or all of it. But obviously, if you look at the left tackle, we've got a guard in Joe Tooney playing left tackle. So I guess if you have to find the weakest spot, which, I mean, that's why these two teams are 29-5. They're just absolutely outrageously talented. But weakest spot, if I had to give one, would be the offensive line for the Chiefs.
The thing about the Eagles, I know they had more sacks the last time you guys matched them in the Super Bowl. It just seems like they're younger, more athletic. You know, the front seven, the great corners. As a Chiefs fan, do you feel that maybe this is a team that can get after and take away some of the things you're trying to do and maybe get Mahomes out of his comfort zone?
I mean, we've been trying to find that team for a while now. last time the Chiefs and Eagles faced each other in that Super Bowl, if you remember, the Eagles had zero sacks. They weren't really happy with the shirts the Chiefs wore. They wore shirts that said zero sacks because, again, that was the conversation, right? You have two great teams. You've got to find something to talk about. And 2 years ago, they had zero sacks in that game with a much better defensive line against a much lesser of an offensive line in Kansas City. But, look, I mean, you look at the stats, and it's like Mahomes is this anomaly for some reason, and we know that because he's one of the best improvisational quarterbacks. He's one of the better quarterbacks we've seen. So it's almost like pick your poison or which medicine do you want to feel comfortable taking? Let him go improvise and get outside and make things happen and be magic, or do you let him sit back, drop back, and try to, you know, play good defense and cover up on the outside? It's kind of a if-so facto what you want to do or how you want to take your medicine with Patrick Mahomes.
Dusty, talk about how you guys figured to stop Saquon Barkley, because no one's been able to do it.
Yeah, probably Tanya Harding. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're doing.
Why?
I can't. That's a little dark. No, hey, look, man. I mean, I take the opposite approach. There's some people out here that are saying, you know, treat it like it's LeBron James or Kevin Durant or whoever. Let them have their 40 and then let everybody else stay quiet. Mm. Last Super Bowl, they played Kittle, Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, all combined for 85 yards. Everyone said Christian McCaffrey was going to be a huge X factor. Fumbled on their opening drive. It's the Super Bowl, Saquon Barkley. He's a stud. I mean, what is considered stopping Saquon Barkley? 100 yards? Chiefs have yet to give up 100 yards rushing to any running back this year and have played against a lot of good ones. So, look, I mean, the way to stop Saquon Barkley, win the coin toss, go down and score, force them to a three and out, score again, whether it's three or seven, and then you make them throw the ball. But that's really the only way to do it. And that's one of those wish in one hands and, you know, crap in the other and see which one fills up faster.
By the way, the over-under on this, it's the highest total ever. 130 yards is the over-under for Saquon Barkley's rushing yards in the Super Bowl. Dusty Likens from 96.5 The Fan and KC with us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I can imagine, I know the answer I'll ask anyway, you know, circling the wagons because everyone's sick and tired of hearing about how the refs help you guys out. I mean, you got to make your own luck. I get that. But is that a narrative just driving people nuts in Kansas City?
Maybe a week ago. We've kind of settled down. You've got a lot of guys that are credible that know what they're saying. We had Gerald McCoy on our show on Radio Row here in Louisiana in New Orleans, and he said it's disrespectful, right? I mean, I guess you could complain about the first down, fourth down play with Josh Allen, but again, the Bills had the ball with 3:33 left in the game to go down there and win, and if he's the MVP quarterback that he's supposed to be this year, you had the opportunity. You could have gone down. Yeah, you can blame that call and say it changed momentum. Still 3:33 left on the clock, so where people try to give you some backlash about the referees and whatnot, I mean, look, we did this with the Patriots. We do this with the Yankees. We do this with the Phillies. You know, we do this with everybody like that that gets the calls. Like Bryce Harper gets all the calls, right? Every call goes his way because of who he is. Same thing, same year, same different team. But it is kind of annoying to get that sort of thing because it kind of like gives a little bit of a dilution to what is this great run where they've gone 15-2 or 15-1, I guess, with the starters this year on the back of a three-peat run.
Tell me how this game plays out in your mind before we let you go, Dusty Likens.
That's a good one. I always call these in Kansas City, I call these type of games cigarette games because you're going to go to the local gas station after it's done. You're going to want to puff about three darts to your face because I think it's 48.5 for a reason, right? It's Mahomes versus Philly. It's Philly versus Kansas City. It's Andy Reid. It's all these great storylines for this gigantic game. But look, I think this game's going to come down to the final minute. I really do. Is it going to be Elliott? Is it going to be Butker? Is it going to be Hurts and Saquon? Or is it going to be Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce? But I think it's going to be a game where Kansas City covers. Shocker, I know. Not by much. I think they cover by 3-4. I know the line's 1.5. But I like the Chiefs in this game just because of the experience and what is destiny. Why not do it one time and why not do it for the boys in Kansas City? So cigarette game, tobacco game, whatever it is that you need to get your fix, Chiefs by 3-4.
Might be a couple of Skull Bandits and a cigar if you're going to be betting the Chiefs.
Maybe get some Zins in you.
There's always, and as you know, we mentioned, there's always those X factors. It's always like the guys like the Xavier Worthies. You know, so maybe that'll be somebody who'll pop in this game.
Yeah, somebody we don't expect to have a big game. Dusty, we know you got to run, man. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much. Enjoy New Orleans.
Hey, take care. Take care of them peaches out there for us.
Yeah,
no
man.
Doubt. No doubt. We do that. Hey, Dusty Likens. I agree with the field goal game.
It's hard not to see this being a last possession game.
No doubt. And look, I have confidence in Jalen Hurts and that offense to go down and score or kick a field goal, whatever it's going to take to win this game, as much as I have confidence in Patrick Mahomes. Listen, Jalen Hurts, the deal is we have been saying he's playing conservative. He's just been taking care of the football.
Right.
And to take a sack versus throwing into coverage. Now, Mike, we said this a few weeks ago. I don't like his hesitancy, right, where he sees a receiver, he looks at a guy, and he's there, and he's like, ah, let it go. But that's also not a bad thing because, you know, if you are hesitant there and you throw a weak pass, it obviously can be picked off. The thing that has helped the Eagles is he is not turning the football over. Right? You're running the ball with Saquon. So I just feel like Jalen Hurts, he's doing the right things, even though he's taking more sacks than I would like him to take, but I would prefer that than the other.
Yeah, the only beef, and we've talked about this before, we talked about with you, Douglas, is when Saquon, you, Carl always says pull. He just never lets it rip. I mean, sometimes receivers out there, it's something that, you know, Aikman's talked about when they cover those games, and Collinsworth's talked about it on Sunday nights. The receivers out there in stride, let it loose, you know, and don't be afraid to trust yourself, because that's the only thing, really, the explosive play. They were relying on the run. That's when A.J., you know, Brown started complaining about it, and then the vertical pass game kind of came back a little bit. If you can trust him, then they have all the weapons. They really do. They've got the explosive play. The other thing is, you know, I think I'll give you a story. I'll give you a narrative on this one. You know, Vic Fangio's kind of, it's like, oh, you know, obviously couldn't be a head coach in Denver at that stage of his career, probably the wrong spot. Miami, he gets a really bum deal because that defense was nothing special. And now you got this Eagles defense. And Hugh also told us last week that, you know, it's kind of like reminds him of the Jim Johnson defensive coordinator Eagles from back in the 2000s. So maybe Vic Fangio, we always talk about Spagnuolo, maybe Fangio comes up with some secret sauce utilizing all that athleticism the Eagles have.
Yeah, listen, the Eagles D is legit. I do think it's an under game.
Nice redemption story for him.
Wouldn't be surprised if this is a 2017 kind of game. And I know that's not exciting, but that's how good these defenses are. You know, you just heard Dusty tell you, and this included our game. I mean, look, Bijan had a really good game against the Chiefs here. Nobody's run for over 100 yards on these guys. They don't do or allow running backs to get off on them like that. And so the challenge is Saquon, who ran for over 2,000 yards, can he get to the 100-yard mark or more in this game? And I think, Mike, if he does, what does that tell us in this game? If we go into the fourth quarter and Saquon's got, you know, 90, 95 yards, what does that tell us? Are the Eagles in the lead? Have they had success and they're controlling the clock? Like, that to me is going to be one of these tells. Or he's got 50 yards and we're going into the fourth quarter. They've contained him, and now there's more pressure on Hurts to deliver.
It's like Jamal Anderson the year we go to the Super Bowl back with the Dirty Birds, 1,800 yards rushing. And then because the way the game played out, the Broncos got up, and then the running game went away.
Went away.
And it was one of Jamal's worst, you know, rushing efforts. That was just a game where obviously nothing went right. But, yeah, and that's what you talked about earlier, and Dusty brought it up. You get some scores, and all of a sudden now you're changing the dynamic, yep. And now you can't utilize Barkley. How about that number, though, 130 yards over-under? Marcus Allen didn't have that. John Riggins didn't have that. When you go through all the great running backs that played in the Super Bowl, that one, even Thurman Thomas didn't have that.
It's
in
a
Super
lot.
Bowl 25. That's how high it is for Saquon.
It's a lot, especially if you say, is he going to touch it that amount of times? Like is he going to get it 25 times in this game? I'm talking about straight handoffs, guys. Pitches, tosses, whatever. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are going to continue to talk about Super Bowl 59. We will also carry the game for you right here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game on Sunday. All of the action right here. All right, coming up, we got the Daily Download. Hawks in action tonight. We'll talk more about the Spurs being in town, the trade deadline looming, and what the Hawks may do, and also the fallout from the news dump from Kirk Cousins yesterday. It's Dukes and Bell. What you laughing at, bro?
No, you and I were having this conversation I think it was earlier this week, or it might have been last week, about my wife gets on my butt about buying too many hats.
You bought another one?
We're both hat guys.
You bought another one?
You signed off on it.
It's a clean hat.
So there you go.
What do you want?
It's like whether I'm buying a car, whether I'm buying a car or buying a hat. I was going to, Carl, what do you think? Carl
goes, always tell you to do
I'd buy it. Oh, okay.
I always tell you to do it.
And I tell the wife, Carl told me to do it.
I am not a guy that lives with regret, okay?
Life's too short.
I'm just saying, I don't do that. Now, again, I'm not going to go broke, but I also know if there's something that I desire, and I know you're a big hat guy,
right?
And I know you're always looking at these different hats, and when you start going to me, what do you think about this one? I like that one. What about this one? That one, too. Go ahead and get it.
All right.
Get it.
Basically, it's a black-on-black Atlanta United, sort of like charcoal on charcoal.
It's cold, man. It's
clean.
Cold.
See, we want stuff that's clean.
Yeah.
I don't want to come out there look like I'm the rear admiral of the Turkish Navy with all the stuff on the side.
All the different crazy colors.
That goes on out there, man. Hey, real quick, before we get back into convo, I was talking about the Eagles and Saquon Barkley and the over-under. I misremembered. I went back and I looked at the Super Bowl that year. Jamal Anderson really had a good game. He was like 5.5 yards per carry.
Oh, wow.
He actually was a tick under 100 yards on 18 carries. The problem that year, in Falcon fans who were of a certain age, we just died in the red zone. We would die. Chandler had a ball tipped in the red zone for interception. We had another drive early in the game. Had to settle for Morton Anderson field goal attempt, which he missed.
Right.
So basically everything that could go wrong, like that Eugene Robinson pinch the night before, went wrong. But Jamal actually did have a good game. And had we not fallen behind, maybe we would have gone over 100 yards in that one.
You know.
Which would have kept us on our game plan.
Yeah. Next time, maybe, when we get stink on, Mark Schlereff tells a great story about that Super Bowl. And, you know, he's on with Andy and Randy, but he's been on our show numerous times. I've known him for years. Right. And Mark Schlereth talks about the fact that the crazy thing behind the scenes was they ran like three plays.
Right.
Three plays because of the way that the Falcons played defense in
they
that game.
They knew. He said it was the easiest night's sleep he ever had before a Super Bowl.
And when you ask and talk about how that offense and, you know, Elway and company and how they maneuvered, you would have thought, all right, we're bringing out the playbook. He's like, no, man, we had like three plays, and we ran the hell out of those plays, and they had, you know, arguably, Terrell Davis back there, all the weapons, and then Elway. But it was – that's interesting, Mike, that he had – we're talking about Jamal – had a good game. And yet the inability to score in the red zone, that could be the story Sunday. The Eagles could get in there. Saquon could have a good game, but if they're not punching it in, you're not going to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, Tim Dwight gave us great field position that game, had a couple of big kick returns. I'm taking it back to memory lane for certain guys. But, yeah, when you look back at it, you go through the prism of time, and you go back and you go, man, everything happened. We would get there, Carl, but we just couldn't get – where's the beef? Couldn't get the six every time down the field.
No doubt, man. Hey, we'll talk more about the Super Bowl in our 4th-and-1 segment coming up, and also Myles Garrett, where he might end up. We are live at State Farm Arena. Mike and I, Turtles down here with us hanging out. Big O's back at the studio. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
Everybody reacting to the trades that have already happened. More will probably take place between now and the deadline on February 6th. But, Mike, as we started the show today, we are trying to figure out what the Hawks are going to do. There's a lot of rumors out there, guys. Some of them may have some validity. Most don't. We are going to see what happens and how they try to maneuver this thing. But the biggest trade so far, and it probably will be, even if Jimmy Butler gets moved or Durant, is Anthony Davis for Luka. And Anthony Davis was asked about his reaction to being traded now to the Mavericks.
I was shocked.
Everyone else?
Like I said, I didn't know. I was actually at home about to watch a movie with my wife and got the phone call. So I had no idea. I mean, now is, you know, I'm kind of over it and just kind of, you know, getting ready to play with Dallas.
Yeah, look, and remember, I don't know if you guys realize this, but, you know, he basically, there's a clause that allows him, a ticker clause that allows him to make more money, and he basically waived that clause to get traded. I don't think he was against this. Any of these stars, if Luka didn't know,
right.
But for Anthony Davis to say, okay, I'm willing to do this, he lost about $6 million by saying, I'm willing to go to Dallas. So that tells me, Mike, he was okay with it. And we don't know, and I don't know if we will know, if there was something going on between him and LeBron. LeBron last night went off, and they beat, you know, who was it, Phoenix, I think they beat last night. And LeBron was like, look, thank you, the Clippers. Yeah, because it was in L.A. And LeBron was like, look, you know, I didn't know either. He continues to say he knew nothing about this.
And a lot of guys are saying nonsense. You know, LeBron is stirring the drink in L.A., but Rob Pelinka, you know, the way this thing was carried off, like as we said yesterday, kind of in a vacuum. Radio silence. No parties were into it. I like Anthony Davis. You really can't make the old jokes about him wearing a suit all the time now because he is playing more games and he's doing, you know, I mean, when you look at some of the players of his stature in the NBA, he's actually an Iron Man of the last few seasons. And, of course, he won a natty. I mean, he won a championship, but just no one remembers it because it was a COVID year.
Yeah, no doubt.
In the bubble.
What does Luka think about being traded? He was asked about this. And, you know, Mike, they were asking about his conditioning. We'll let you hear Shaq and what he had to say about Luka. He says he does not look fat to him. But before we get to that, here is Luka Doncic talking about if he has anything to prove in L.A.
Obviously, yeah. That's it. Win the championship. You don't come here for nothing else than championship, so I have everything left to prove.
Someday 77 will hang from rafters. Right now, I'm in my feels.
He is.
Still processing this. They call me fat, call me lazy.
They did.
Call me fat and lazy.
They did.
Say I drink too much beer.
Do you?
A little bit. We go hard in the paint in Slovenia.
Yes, I understand. You guys do get it in over there.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
I think, all right, I think we're about to see a Luka we hadn't seen.
Right.
I really do. And look, he can already. He's a top three.
You know what
guy
I do now? I promise Laker fans, I switch to Mick Ultra. Problem solved.
It's a good beer, by the way. I think this is what I think. I think because you said it, he's in his feels.
Right.
He's embarrassed a little bit.
Yes.
We're about to see a Luka just that, like, and I think this is what happened when Kobe went through that accused, you know, when he's being accused of rape. Every night he was killing somebody. Like, every night I am abusing the opposing team.
Right.
because he had this motivation of what his perception and his image was. Like, Luka, I think, is going to be on one, a similar kind of deal.
Kobe could have won the MVP every year after
no
that.
No doubt.
But the media, and again, and that's, by the way, if you ever take the time, I don't know anybody who hates on Kobe. I've never met anyone who hates on Kobe. But, I mean, if you go back and look at that story, the whole thing was so convoluted, that whole court case, whole situation. But, yeah, I mean, he was, and then he had to pay the price because, again, we always get how subjective the MVP is. He was that guy every year.
He was. All right, Shaq, what do you think? Does Luka look fat to Shaquille O'Neal?
He doesn't look out of shape to me. Like, I need to know what the term when you say out of shape, is he fat? Does he have a six pack? Does he not have are we talking body fat?
A lot of stories because he's ballooned up to 270.
Because one of my best friends just told me fat Luka is better than 99.9% of all the guards in the game. So, you know, in shape Luka, 5 years, first team NBA. Fat Luka or this out of shape Luka? First team All-NBA 5 years, so.
Shaq's not lying. I mean, as we said, all the things we joked around, oh, and of course he fouled out. He looks like he quit. Of course, he's someone for 30.
Yes.
He was averaging like 29 points in those NBA finals last year.
That's true.
So, I mean, yeah, whatever he is, he's one of the top five players in the league. And by the way, Joker, of course, is a little bit taller, 3 inches taller, is 285 with the Nuggets.
Yeah.
He's listed at 2. I think he's probably bigger than that.
And again, not an above-the-rim guy. It's amazing how Joker plays and does what he does night in and night in.
It's like if we had seen Sabonis, the elder,
yes,
if he was healthy, when he was with the Yugoslavia national team. You got Sabonis when he was all arthritic and couldn't move, but he could still do all that crazy stuff at the top of the key.
He was incredible. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
All right, Mike, the fallout from Kirk Cousins.
you mean the Kirk Cousins revisionist history media tour?
It's unbelievable. And I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm sick to my stomach, and I'm also fed up about talking about this. Mm. Like, that's how I feel about this whole situation. And look, you guys know this. I mean, we were up there every week. We're up there all the time. We totally bought in and totally gave Kirk the benefit of the doubt, just like the team. We were all about it. And now, after all of this stuff, and there was more stuff that came out yesterday after we got off the air.
Right.
You know, where he was with Diana Rossini, and he's talking about the ankle, which we talked about yesterday. Oh, well, it wasn't the Achilles, but the rest of my ankle took some time to heal. So then you're telling us you were hurt a lot longer than you actually were.
Well, what's up next? Is he going to go on Kelly Clarkson's show? Who's next?
Tell me.
I mean, this is getting to the point. Yeah, so, again, for those who didn't, if you've been living under a rock here in Atlanta the last few days, he all season long, he denies that he's injured. After he gets to the point where he's just throwing 8 interceptions and 0 touchdowns in the losing streak. And then when he was actually mentioned that, hey, man, you showed up on the injury report. Oh, that was a clerical error. And he says, oh, that was just a walkthrough. I'd been a practice. So he made a point to basically scold the media that, no, I'm good. And then, you know, and whether Raheem didn't know, you and I debated that long all day yesterday with the audience, whatever. It's just Kirk Cousins should be ashamed of himself to pull this crap, to basically bold faces. So are you lying now or are you lying then?
Either or.
That's it. You're full of it. And I wish him, you know, I wish the team that takes him nothing but, you know, good luck with that, because this guy is, I didn't know. I mean, I said I was conned. I was sucked into it. But this guy's a fraud.
All right. That's where we are. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday. We will not do that today. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
Got to give a big shout-out, Mike, to Georgia Tech. They got a big win last night.
Hey.
And Big O back at the studio. Can we hear Damon Stoudemire talking about believing in his team and his team competing? Look, we are counting down to Selection Sunday. March Madness is right around the corner. You need every dub that you can possibly get right now. And I'm going to tell you guys something. I didn't watch all of this game. I caught the end last night.
Right.
St. John's, dude, is back.
Yeah, Rick Pitino has literally, I mean, it hasn't been that swinging since Chris Mullins was there.
It's crazy.
Seriously, you got to go back to like the LaCarna second days in their prime of the Big East.
Mike, it's true. So if you missed it last night, again, Georgia Tech with another big win. Let's hear Damon Stoudemire.
And I told our guys, especially after the Louisville game, you know, on Saturday, I'm like, they're not going to take you for granted. And what I'm proud of is I think we took their best hit. And I've been telling anybody that listen. You know, injuries aside, we got 5 or 6 players, 7 players. I feel like we can play with anybody. Yeah, I really do, and I've been saying it. But I needed these guys to believe in that, and I think, tonight's win shows that they do.
I know that we've been basically said the other day, I hadn't talked much about them. We talked a little bit about Georgia and Mike White, and they can't win. To put the way, Georgia basketball, I know we're expecting that next step up. They can't even compete. I know the SEC is loaded.
It is.
They're getting run out of gyms.
It is.
But in the case of the – I know he would say when we, if we talked to him, to Mighty Mouse, to Damon, he would say the injuries are no excuse, but they have been decimated. But maybe, Carl, they're just starting to get some mojo going. It was pretty funny. Was it Jason Williams on ESPN said, Louisville won't win a game in the month of February. And then Tech goes out and beats them, which I thought was pretty good. So hopefully they built some momentum. UVA is coming up next in a couple of days.
They beat Clemson last night. For those who didn't see it, three overtimes. They were a 12-point underdog. And it just speaks to everybody going, oh, they're going to get beat. Clemson, Clemson's 18-4 or right. Whatever they were, 17-4 at the time. And they lose last night, and it was just a hell of an effort. So big shout-out, Mike. If they do those things, make some noise in their conference tournament in the ACC, maybe they'll be a bubble team. We'll see. There's still a lot of basketball to play between now and the start of March Madness, but we had to give Damon Stoudemire a big shout-out. And by the way, we talked about this. We're seeing it in football.
Right.
With NIL in the portal. It shouldn't take long, especially to translate, Mike. We're right. Talking about St. John's. Pitino's been there 1 year. Yeah. 1 year later, they're a 20-win right. team.
Rick Pitino, I'm telling you, man, like you can say what he does on his off the court and his personal life, but the dude, man, that guy's he's one of the all-timers. And he goes everywhere he goes, man. He makes it happen, even though that Larry Bird's not walking through that door, pal. You can say Chris Mullin's not walking through that. Bill Wennington's not walking through that door, pal.
No.
But either way, St. John, I mean, the Reds, whatever they are.
Red Storm. Red Storm.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was called
Red.
Anyway, yeah, he's doing a great job. And that's when the Big East was the Big East, man.
Great.
It was a scene.
It was. It was great. And it's good. It's just not as good as it was
right.
when you used to have, what was it? Was it Big Wednesday? What was
right.
it?
Right. Yeah, I mean, remember when we were kids? Live from the Palestra. They'd be playing like, these were big games, man. And you knew all the starting, if not the starting five, you knew starting three on every team in that conference back in the day.
No doubt. All right, guys, we're live at State Farm Arena again tonight. Hawks, Spurs coming up. Of course, Daily Download brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. We're going to talk more about what's going on around the league. And you know, Mike, with all of this, these guys, I say all of them, but, the, you know, the Myles Garrett thing, it's not just happening in the NBA where guys want out, right? It's harder in the NFL.
Right.
It's harder even when a player demands he wants out. But we're going to get into this because what's it going to cost to get him? And now everybody's saying, all right, Cleveland's already fielding calls. Andrew Berry, their general manager, saying right. he will not do this. But what if somebody gives you a deal you can't refuse?
Right. And then Chris brought up some numbers. The math on the Browns and their cap situation, they've got a lot of things to navigate. You think we've got issues, man? Even if they want to get him off the books, there's a lot of hurdles to cross.
All right, we're going to get into that coming up next hour. Also, And along the way, we're going to talk to Lauren Williams as well down here at State Farm Arena as we'll find out more about potential trades with our Atlanta Hawks. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.